and Richard Patriot Lab from Rumor Mill News website is here with me. Hi, Richard.
Good day.
Good day. Have you ever had one of those days where every single thing that could go wrong goes wrong?
Not lately, but I've had them, yes.
Well, that was my day today. I woke up about 6 o'clock, turned over to see what time it was, and found out that my electricity was off.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm thinking to myself, well, do I dare? So I look at my watch, and fortunately my watch was running. And so I said, do I dare go back to sleep? And I thought, no, I probably will sleep till noon if I go back to sleep, because I didn't get to bed until really late. So I got up, and it's freezing, of course. So I have to build a fire. And that's okay, because I build fires all the time. But then I wanted a cup of coffee. Well, I had to, fortunately, I've got gas. So I had to turn on the gas. And then I realized that my gas stove will not turn on without electricity. So I'm thinking, well, what if I just hold a match to it? So, yes, I held a match to it and turned it on, and it did light. But it's sort of like every single little thing that I had to do today, I had to figure out 2 to 3 different ways of doing it before it got solved. And I have one of these backup generators. It's a battery that you plug into a regular outlet, and it's supposed to run for 12 hours, and you just plug everything into it. So that's what I did. I plugged a few things into it, and a computer and my wireless outlet, and tried to get going. But even doing that, it was like some of the things needed three-pronged plugged, others didn't, and so I had to go out and find a three-prong adapter to be able to even plug everything in. And then I decide that I want to find out what's going on. So I call PG&E, and there is a 26-minute wait to find out what's going on in my area. So I figured that it was a really big deal area-wide, so I called one of my relatives. I have 3 relatives that work for PG&E, so I called one of my relatives to find out what it was. She called me back and said, whatever it is so unusual that they're not even telling people what it is. Isn't this incredible?
Well, obviously, it is a plot to make you absolutely...
Crazy. It gets worse, Richard.
The very first thing
I did was I figured, oh, the circuit breakers, just something flipped them. So I went out, and I do what I always do. I just flip all the circuit breakers off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, and I'd have everything ending up in the on position. So that's what I did. Flipped them all so that they all ended up in the on position, which is the position that I found most of them in, right?
Right.
Because the reason that I have to do that is my circuit breakers, if one of them is tripped, you can't tell it. So you literally have to go through and work all of them.
Mm.
So a few minutes ago, about 20 minutes ago, a PG&E truck pulls up in front of my house, and I'm going, wait a minute, if this was area-wide, as my niece told me, then why do I have a PG&E truck pulling up in front of my house? Well, the first thing I asked him when he got out, I said, is this area-wide or is it just my house? He says, no, ma'am, it's just your house.
Oh, good.
Isn't that interesting? Contrary to the information that my family member gave me. So he goes over and he says, have you played around with this? And I told him yes, and I explained to him what I had done. And he said, well, they're all in the off position. And I said, I didn't do that. When I flipped them, I flipped them up and I flipped them down, you know, to the position that I found them in. And he said, well, what you did is you turned them all off again. You turned everything on and then you turned everything off. And I said, you mean somebody came to my house and turned off my electricity? And he said, yes, every now and then kids in the community do things like that.
Oh, please.
So, do you know,
I have to tell you, this is starting to sound like a Rod Serling script.
Well, I'm not making it up, I promise. Well, do you think it was the Paul Pantone interview that got me, had somebody turn off my electricity, or was it the Bob Schultz interview that had them turn off my electricity, or is it going to be the Phil Berg interview today that had them turn off my electricity?
Well, that's dealer's choice. You know, you've managed to annoy a lot of people.
Boy, I know it. Gosh, I wonder, well, I know Jeff Rintz puts up with this all the time. Oh, my God, I'm sworn to confidence, but you just can't imagine the crap that people have done to him. I mean, it is just unbelievable. And, of course, you know, I got thrown off two radio stations because of the Paul Pantone interview. And, you know, I wonder what else is going to happen to me. And this is a pattern. I mean, I look at the guy in Arizona, the investigative reporter, a radio person again, the investigative radio reporter that was doing the expose on the Aryan Brotherhood, and he was killed, you know, shot in his driveway. So but you know, the trouble is with him, you know, who it was that killed him and why. With me, nobody's ever going to know why, because I, you know, the specter of people that I interview and the things that we expose on Rumor Mill is so diverse that I feel, you know, everybody would be like Mel Gibson in Conspiracy Theory, you know, where they kidnap him and he's going, hey guys, which one of my stories did I get right? Which one did I get right? Tell me.
Well, perhaps, Raylan, the case here is that all of your stories are right. I mean, is there anybody you haven't made angry at you in the halls of government and the internal, you know, alleyways?
No, and you know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I offend Democrats and I offend Republicans and just about every other person that you can think of. If they're crooks and criminals, I'm trying to expose what it is they're doing. Hey, did you read that one of my sources sent in a little note, and it was just a note that one of his sources had sent to him, and it's the reason corporate media lies. Did you see that yet? I just posted it.
I have it up. I've read it twice.
What do you think of it?
I'm not sure that that he's right, although it's a good speculation.
Okay, well, what the man read, so all of our listening audience will know, what my source sent was this. One of my sources said that the corporate media has to lie, and that is being done to push back, in other words, to avoid civil wars inside the United States. And that alternative media has to be held back because it will bring it about, just that, an uprising. And then he speculates, my source speculates at what his source told him. And my source says, does that mean when corporate media starts to tell the truth, we must all now start to prepare for trouble inside the United States? Boy, that's a good one. I mean, just think about that.
I agree. That's an interesting question. But my question in response is, who is it that is taking the temperature of the body politic? And who is it that has decided that we can't get by this next year or 2 years without having a full-blown internal civil war? I mean, that's what a civil war would be, of course. But we've, in the past, you know, 10 years ago, it was the Russians are coming, and then it was the Chinese are coming through Mexico. And then there was, you know, some other thing. And I had to question somebody who was propounding the theory about Chinese troops massing on the border in northern Mexico. I asked that person, do you know how much water an average-sized man must have a day in a hot environment? And do you know how much food, you know, just basic to keep an average-sized man, not a tall man, alive? And do you know how much comfort is required and sanitation for 50,000 troops or 10,000 troops or 5,000 troops? You can't bum-rush the border of the United States with 5,000 troops. it's not going to make any difference.
Well, I don't think they're in Mexico anymore. I think they're here. You know, there are so many tunnels that have gone undetected, and it's so amazing because we've got satellites that can detect the tunnels. If the satellites can detect the tunnels, they can detect them when they start digging them. Therefore, they could be, at the other end in the United States when the tunnels come up. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous that they say, oh, well, these tunnels have been active for 2 to 3 years now, and they're just now finding them. Come on, give us a break.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. If there are that many tunnels, then we have more trouble than we thought. I mean, there are tunnels under some parts of Pennsylvania that go back to the first coal mines. And
there's some that go back 50,000 years ago. Have you read about finding those tunnels in Pennsylvania where pieces of jewelry were inside the coal? In other words, pieces of jewelry 50,000 years old had grown into the coal. And of course, then,
no, I haven't read that.
Yeah, that's one of the web pages has that around. You know, I can't remember which one it is. Maybe somebody will send it to me. But it's the story of all the strange things that have been found in the Pennsylvania coal mines, of course, that have been covered up. But there are also other tunnels that they have dug into. You know, tunnels that aren't supposed to be there. And they just, you know, they just close them up and don't go investigate them. So we don't even know what those tunnels are.
Okay, well, see, this again is one of those internet-based rumors that I have a hard time coming to grips with because...
Well, you know, Richard, I've been in those underground tunnels. And
I understand that there are a bunch of them in New Mexico, but when did they start the tunneling in Pennsylvania?
The one that I was in went from Pahrump, Nevada, all the way to Catalan, the Catalan region in Spain. And that is, it is a tunnel. I could tell that when I was down in it, there were all sorts of businessmen in it, businessmen, businesswomen. I mean, it looked like you were on the subway in San Francisco, and it was a subway train. And the Admiral and I got in it, and by the time we got out to the other end, we were no longer walking in the door. We had to climb out the roof like a submarine. And so at some point, I think we traveled, under the water. Maybe, I don't know. But you see, I have personal experience that these tunnels exist. And I've been told not only by my husband Gunther, but by numerous contacts that are deep cover covert operatives that, yes, the tunnel system exists, and yes, the tunnel system has been around for longer than anybody can imagine because we didn't build these tunnels. The tunnels were already there. But the tunnels I'm talking about on the border are ones that smugglers dig. I'm not talking about the deep ones, the ones that you have to go down. When we entered the tunnel, we entered from an old hangar at an old air base in, Wendover. What is that place? I can't even think of the name of it. It's the town in, Nevada, Tonopah. And we, he just goes over and presses something on a wall. I mean, it's just like out of The X-Files. He goes over and he presses something on a wall, and the wall is no longer there. There's an elevator there where the wall used to be.
Okay.
And we took the elevator down. I have no idea. There's only one button. You press the button. It could have been 20 feet below. It could have been 1,000 feet below, for all I know. Because I wasn't paying any attention to how long, he was talking and telling me things and blah, 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 and so I was listening to him and not paying any attention to how long I was in the elevator. But you see, these are some of the things that I know because I personally experienced all of them.
Right.
And so I know these underground tunnels exist. And then when I talked to Gunther, he told me that not only do they exist, but the United States Navy has access to them, and they use them. He told me that here in Monterey Bay, there is an underground submarine base. And that underground submarine base just literally has access to the entire United States. Now think about this. There are rivers running, underground rivers running all under the United States that our Navy has mapped out, and we have submarines underneath the United States. Now,
okay, now let me tell you, this dovetails, not entirely, but partially, with a story that V.K. Durham told me several years ago about the 23 floors underground in New Mexico. And this is part of what was designed to contain the evidence of the Roswell UFO crash and other subsequent interactions with aliens, the gray aliens in specific, but there may be others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her story, and she, like you, attested to this from the experience of her husband, who was, as you may know, extremely highly placed in covert operations, that being Russell Herrmann, and that in her opinion, and from what she was told, she didn't see it, but one of the problems that they ran into in the New Mexico, vertical downwards skyscraper in the bowels of the earth, is that some of these aliens broke out and they got into a fight with the regular humans. And this was an extremely bloody affair. It went on for days. And most everybody involved was killed, including most of the gray aliens.
Yeah, I've heard about this. But DK actually was told about it by her husband?
Correct.
That's amazing. She should write that story up.
Well, there's something she doesn't often discuss. I'm not breaking a confidence about this because I know she's discussed it with other people in the meantime. But mm-hmm. she was told, and that is through, you know, her late husband, that the real problem in the New Mexico underground laboratory was that they had done some hybridization. They had mixed the DNA of the gray aliens, who were more humanoid than not, with some people that they had picked for whatever reasons. They had the right genotype, I suppose, and had thus created some hybrids. And that this rankled the gray aliens to no end, or something like that. And this is part of why there was the rebellion underground, and why so many people were killed, because it was a Donnybrook. There's a lot of stuff about that sort of thing in science fiction circles. So it's coming from somewhere. And we know that if we really monitor our fiction going back for 100 years, there have been constant publications of really outstanding varieties and qualities, as well as stuff that's pulp, you know, pulp fiction.
Right.
And they touch on many of these types of issues. You can get into the entire thing about time travel, starting with H.G. Wells, of course, and he was hardly the only one, but Philip K. Dick was the guy who came up with some of the most bizarre of these, not the least of which is the story of the humanoid robots, the replicants, and the fact that they were biologically engineered. But they were biological machines, but they were not organic humans, you know, tailored. They were copies. They were created to use extremely small and precise forms of technology so they could be super strong, so they could resist very cold temperatures, and so forth. And that, of course, was do androids dream of electric sheep? And that was a short story later made into Blade Runner, starring Harrison Ford and others. And the problem with that, of course, is that the guy who wrote the novel, Blade Runner, was talking about something entirely different, so they just bought the name from him. But the story that we see in the movie Blade Runner, especially in the director's cut, which does not have the narrative and which has many key scenes that were left out in the original release, is all about, you know, the world of our future, where these giant corporations run everything, and where these replicants, these robotic human replacements, are their specialized forces.
Wow. And we're practically there. And, you know, remember those movies, I can't remember who starred in them, but about the machine, the men that were half machine, half robot? I swear to God, we're there right now. including the $6 million man. I think that we actually have human beings who are these $6 million men, but that's another very long story.
Mm-hmm. Well, this a recent movie that was put out is in that genre and very interesting, and it stars the action hero Vin Diesel,
mm-hmm.
kind of a weird guy in his own right.
But, you know, you and I have talked about Faction 2 actors and Faction 1 actors, mm-hmm. and Faction 2 actors doing the movies that really tell a little bit of the truth. Well, Vin Diesel is one of those.
I can believe that. The movie in particular is called Babylon A.D.
I saw it. I was just going to tell you about that one. You go ahead and describe it.
Well, I happened to rent the raw and uncut version simply because it was available, and I heard it was a pretty amazing story. And the thing about it that's so scary is it begins at the time of a massive civil war or uprising, set of uprisings, in Serbia, the other parts of the Balkans, and not all, but much of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in the story, very briefly, is that a certain young lady who was born in the United States but is super mentally enhanced has to be transported across Russia, across the Bering Straits, and then back into the United States, and then to see her father, who's a scientist and doctor in New York City. And, I mean, that's what the story is about, and there's lots of other things that happen.
Well, we'll come back to that on the other side of the break. This is Raven Allen and Patriot Ladd from Rumor Mill News, and I are having a conversation about things that are in the news that are going on, and needless to say, we get sidetracked at times, and so right now, we're talking about a movie. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network, and we will be back.
Today's show was brought to you by LifeQuest World Corporation, a life science company that is dedicated to significantly improving the lives of its family members, associates, and distributor organization. We strive daily through our own research and development laboratories, as well as our professional association with one of the world's leading botanical research centers to provide human beings with solutions to many of life's unanswered health challenges. Infusing proprietary science under the scrutiny of good manufacturing practices and adhering to the efficacy of pharmaceutical protocols, LifeQuest products are effective, safe, and superior within the marketplace for nutritional supplements and consumables. LifeQuest strives to present a whole-minded approach to better living by putting equal emphasis on an improved lifestyle, freedom through financial reward, and the enhancement of the human spirit. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long. This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina, and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.
Boom!
Boom!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
There were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great. Wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
You are listening to The Micro Effect. Micro broadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Be strong, live long with ImmuneXT. 100% natural and certified vegetarian, ImmuneXT is the world's most powerful immune stimulatory extract on the market. researched and developed over a 10-year period by research scientists at the National Center for Natural Products Research at the prestigious University of Mississippi. Our bodies are under attack daily by viral and bacterial agents. To maintain health and wellness, you must strengthen, stimulate, and enhance immune responses to pathogens and foreign invaders, protecting yourself from illness, disease, and even death. The answer is ImmuneXT, clinically proven to enhance the body's defense mechanisms against bacterial and viral infection and strengthen and support optimal performance of the immune system. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.
To look younger and feel youthful and revitalized. We strive for these things our whole life, but always seem to fall short of our expectations. Some products on the market may sound great, but all you're really getting is expensive marketing and a bottle full of chemicals. Remember, aging is a disease, reminding us every day that our bodies are breaking down. The new wave of natural health and beauty is here with Orgon's G5 Organic Silica. The anti-aging potential of G5 Organic Silica is one of the elements in the body that becomes greatly deficient as we age. Just 2 tablespoons of G5 Organic Silica a day can help keep aging away. Also, check out Orgon's Chembuster. With a food shortage and crops more precious than ever, the Chembuster can help alleviate drought and increase fertility and vitality of your crops. Health does not need to be expensive or complicated. Simple technology equals profound results at OrgonProducts.org. Visit orgoneproducts.org or call 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
Doesn't it feel like we're living on the edge? Anyway, Richard, we were talking about this movie with Vin Diesel, and you were explaining that it started, it's in the future, but it's in a time when all sorts of chaos is going on, and they've got to transport a young woman from Tibet to New York City, and so they choose to go through Russia, and she's going there to meet her father, and I'll let you continue the story from there.
That's pretty close to the exact plot. The actual action in the movie begins in something called New Serbia, which is apparently part of the Balkans. And the character that Vin Diesel plays is a mercenary. I guess he just hires out on a daily basis because he doesn't seem to have anyone that he's associated with, and everybody hates him. But nonetheless, he's hired to go and find this young woman in a convent for some new religious cult or sect, and see to it that she gets across Russia into the United States by going through the Bering Straits and crossing down through Canada. And so there are scenes in the snow and scenes in railway stations and so on. And it's pretty exciting. It's a very interesting and timely movie. It's set just a few years in the future, not, you know, thousands or hundreds of years in the future.
Maybe, what, 20 or 30 years in the future, I think.
Oh, not even that much, 10 to 15.
Well, I was just judging it by the weapons. And who knows, maybe we do have weapons that are almost that advanced right now.
Right.
Possible.
He mostly carries regular guns, but there's some other things that are used. The interesting thing is that the use of implants for tracking and what have you has turned into the creation of mechanical passports. And if you have one of these, you can go almost anywhere in the world. And if you don't have one, then it's very difficult to cross borders. So he is implanted, and this gives him the ability to protect this young woman who is the savant.
But you need to say that he had his removed, and he didn't want to have it put back in, and so they promised him that at the end he'd be able to remove it again.
That's correct.
And so he was one of these people who understood that if you have the mark of the beast, you're going to be tracked. And so he had somehow arranged not to have that.
That's that's correct as well. Although you have to watch very carefully in the beginning of the movie to understand it. But the point is that this guy is an international mercenary, and he doesn't have any loyalty to anybody except himself when the film begins. Now, the fellow's name actually, his true name is Mark Sinclair Vincent, and Diesel is just his stage name. And he's a twin. So it's a very interesting situation.
I thought there's two of him, huh?
Yes. Of how he grew up in New York City and all the things that he went through to become an actor of some standing. And
mm-hmm.
Not the least of which is that he took 3 years of courses at Hunter College and then just got bored with that, I guess, and went off to Hollywood to see if he could make a career in movies. And he was in a small part in Saving Private Ryan, which is, you know, a pretty profound and interesting movie in itself, about, you know, the invasion of Normandy and the push into France, and, of course, starring Tom Hanks in the lead role as the leader of...
I want to interrupt for just a minute and tell our audience that at noon we are having Phil Berg as our guest on the radio show, and he's going to be talking about what the case tomorrow before the Supreme Court, the Berg versus Obama in the Obama birth certificate. And of all the radio stations in the world, we got him today. So anyway, Richard, go ahead.
That's about all I wanted to say about this Babylon AD that just came out in this week or so on DVD, so that you can look at it at home and take the time. As I said, Vin Diesel is a very interesting fellow, and he's obviously one of these Arnold Schwarzenegger types who has a lot more brains inside of a lot of brawny physique than seems evident at the beginning. He talks kind of slow and acts kind of stupid sometimes, but that's simply because that's how he got his first work. Anyway, there's a lot of fun things out on DVD right now, so there's a lot of different kinds of movies that you can look at that will give you clues as to what's going on. The second one that I wanted to mention while we have a moment is a film that was created by Nick Broomfield, who's British, I guess, and it's called Battle for Haditha. And what it does is, it, in a documentary fashion, although it's a docudrama, it presents the events of the American occupation of Haditha in Iraq and how constant warfare with the IEDs and the killing of Marines back a couple of years ago so upset and unhinged the Marines who were on the station there, some of whom, you know, had friends that were killed and others of whom rotated in after the first campaign, and how this led to a massacre of Iraqi citizens after one of these car bombs or IEDs went off and killed a bunch of Americans and left some others wounded in that particular town, Haditha. And one interesting thing about it is one of the Iraqi characters is telling his young protege as they're setting the bomb, "It's terrible that we're having to do this, but Haditha used to be the place where everyone went for a honeymoon."
Oh, my gosh, isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah, it's like the Niagara Falls of Iraq.
Wow.
So,
we certainly were never told that, were we?
No, and there's... The film was shot in Jordan, so it's extremely authentic looking, and many of the extras and secondary actors are Arabs, and there's a lot of conversation in Arabic, but the subtitles are easy to read, so it's a real good story.
Well, does it just bash our soldiers, or does it present things kind of evenly?
It's extremely balanced, and this is why I think it's an enormously important and influential film. The Battle for Haditha does not make out the Americans to be all, you know, heroic and John Wayne, nor does it make them out to be bloodthirsty killers. They are young men, some, you know, 19 and 20, who are stuck in a situation where they really don't know who is what and who is doing what. And when they come upon a scene where a Humvee is blown up and they're their compatriots and other Marines are, you know, scattered about on the concrete in various pieces, they react like many angry young men would do. And the thing is that they're heavily armed, they're well trained, and they're given the go by their commanding officer, who's not there, of course, he's talking to them by radio, to just go and get people and interrogate them with some degree of force, which means that a lot of people just get killed. Because these guys are in a blood rage by the time they're up, you know, climbing stairs and breaking down doors and what have you. And in one particular scene that's very terrible to watch, another squad that was detached to help with this incident where the Marines are killed in the Humvee just starts spraying automatic weapons into a house, into the living room. And so they end up killing about 8 or 10 people, including 5 or 6 children.
Yeah.
So this movie is not for the faint of heart, and it does not present the Iraqis as being, you know, the poor suffering, you know, good guys, and it does not present the Marines as monsters. It really shades both of them into being what they are, which is that a lot of Iraqis are trapped in a situation where, particularly this time 2 years ago when this, I believe this episode took place, or maybe 3 years ago, there was no recourse for the Iraqis. The insurgents were all around, particularly in Haditha. They knew who we were. You know, everybody knew everybody is basically the subtext of this. If you went to the Americans and said to them, hey, we know that some bad guys planted a bomb in the road, well, the next day your throats would be slit and your children would be killed, because the Al-Qaeda operatives were just as ruthless as anybody has ever been in the history of, you know, terrorist organizations. And it shows this. It demonstrates it in a very sound and easy-to-understand way. And it, like I said, it doesn't sugarcoat anything, so it's an important film.
You know, one of the things that our readers on Rumor Mill News knows is that I personally believe Saddam Hussein died in January of 2001, and the reason for the war, it was to remove his sons, who were just pathological. They were insane, and of course they were made insane by the treatment that their father gave them when they were growing up. But the things that those men did to the humans in Iraq was just so extremely barbaric. I'm not even going to get into some of them. I'll get into one. Feeding their rape victims, their young 13, 14-year-old gang rape victims, feeding them to the lions. That was one of them. But there were many that were far worse than that that I'm not going to get into.
Okay, on that note, let me add something.
Okay.
Recently, HBO ran a, I believe it was a 4-part docudrama called House of Saddam.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it chronicles the rise of Saddam from, you know, just a regular functioning leader of the Ba'ath Party in Iraq to his status as the dictator and president for life, if you want to call that.
Uh-huh.
And some of the adventures that goes on. Now, in this particular docudrama, the two main characters are actually not Saddam and his wife, but the two sons, Uday and Qusay. And the way it is presented, it is Uday, who is the complete pathological liar and fanatic and monster, and Qusay, who tries to hold him back and restrain him, and who is more aligned with the female branch of the family, because the Saddam Hussein family was an alliance of two major families in Iraq.
I also want to talk about his daughter, Ragad. I don't know how to pronounce her name. But we've got Tom in Michigan on the line right now. So let's bring up Tom. Tom, what do you have to contribute?
He was mentioned about, you know, the one movie about the Marines and stuff and Haditha and stuff.
Yes, go ahead.
And he called the Iraqis insurgents. Well, actually, the Americans are insurgents there, and Iraqis are freedom fighters, because they're trying to protect their own from the empire building the United States.
There's some of that text in this movie, The Battle for Haditha.
Yeah.
It shows you several different viewpoints. To tell you the truth, the way the Battle of Haditha is structured, most of the American Marines there don't want to be there. But they're there, and they're following orders, and you know, you can blame the politicians if you want, but I can't see that you can blame the Marines because they're doing what Marines do, which is follow orders.
Well, you know, Tom has a point. It's all in the history books, who's the insurgent and who's the terrorist and who's the freedom fighter. If our founding fathers had lost the Revolutionary War, they would have been terrorists or insurgents or whatever.
Well, they were insurgents.
Yeah, they were. Well, thanks for the comment, Tom.
One other thing, you know, if the South were the one, the North would have been insurgents. So, you know, words have meaning. So I just thought I'd call and bring that out.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Anyway, we were talking about Kusei and Uday, and, you know, I don't know which one was the crazy one, which one wasn't the crazy one, but the crazy one was the one that was in charge of Iraq at the time. And the reports of Saddam Hussein's death were published in almost every Middle Eastern newspaper. And then, you know, 2 or 3 days later, there were corrections, you know, it was an error, Saddam is not dead, and then Saddam begins to appear on television, which was probably one of his devils. There, he had a number of cousins, the same bloodline, and the cousins looked enough like him that, you know, same body, same hair. There was just a little tiny bit of plastic surgery. They were dead ringers for him.
In that regard, I think it's more likely that one of the dead ringers was killed or died, and they just somehow slipped that out.
I don't believe that, and the reason I don't believe it is I've had too many men that have been inside the United States government tell me that my theory is not a theory, that's absolutely 100% correct. And the reason that the United States decided that they would go to war is they would go to war because the United States government, is the one that put Saddam Hussein in power. And now his sons were using a double to retain the power, and the only way that they could get rid of these bloodthirsty monsters was to go in and depose them, kill them all. And that's what they did. And so you can have your beliefs, but I've got mine.
I know, and we share many points of agreement. With regard to the House of Saddam, which was made for HBO, and available only through them for, you know, as a first-run item, it does not get into anything like that. It gives you the idea that whoever Saddam Hussein was in the beginning, he changed as he got more power, and then became so utterly ruthless that no one could stand up against him, except for the men in his own family. And that when this began to happen, then they started to fall. So he was willing to eliminate some of the senior men in his
plan. Well, if you'll remember, his son-in-law defected, gave the United States all sorts of information, and
right.
Then Saddam took every member of the son-in-law's family and told the son-in-law that we're going to kill them all, you know, torture them all to death slowly if you don't come back. Well, the son-in-law came back and expected himself to be tortured to death slowly. But what happened is they put them all into one room and killed them all.
That's presented in the film as well, and it's a somewhat different storyline, but the facts are as stated. Now, what happened is that in the film that was produced for HBO, these arranged marriages between the male and female members of the two clans that made the Saddam Hussein, you know, dynasty possible, are examined in great detail, although, you know, this is not a very long thing, 4 or 5 episodes total, I guess. And these things, of course, impact the Kusei and Uday characters, because these are people that they've known their whole lives, for the most part, and with whom they have many relationships, beside the families marrying, you know, sisters on one side, marrying the brothers on the other side. So it's a terrible, terrible thing that happens. But when the brothers betray Saddam Hussein, he sends, you know, the senior man in their clan, which is essentially their uncle, to dispatch them. And they show up with a bunch of guys with machine guns, and they go out and give the two brothers 2 AK-47s and, you know, a couple of bandoliers of ammo, and say, we will do this in the Bedouin way. So they're allowed to fight to the death. And of course, there's no chance that they're going to survive because heavy machine guns outside and them with, you know, AK-47s inside. So they're killed in an actual battle. They're not executed in some bizarre fashion. They're shot dead in the process of defending themselves. So it's very interesting how the HBO's documentary drama was created, because it's about real people that we know about, but it's, you know, tailored for TV.
Well, you know, I don't know how true this is. I heard it on one of the news shows, and, you know, who can trust anything these days that come from the talking heads, but this is one of their so-called experts, you know, that they get in from the CIA or whatever. Mm-hmm. And evidently this daughter of Saddam Hussein, whose name I cannot pronounce, Ragged, do you know how it's pronounced? R-A-G-H-A-D, Ragad?
It's Ragad.
Ragad, okay. Evidently she is the one behind the coup attempt. You know, the coup on Maliki that happened at about the same time that Bush got hit with the shoe, or the shoe was thrown at Bush. And so Ragad Hussein is the one using all of her father's money that was, you know, smuggled out and put over in Jordan. And I guess that's where she's living, too. But she is still financing in, what do you want to call them, insurgents? I mean, there's a legitimate government there. She's financing a coup against the legitimate government. Maybe the legitimate government there isn't legitimate.
Well, this is not actually the subject of the HBO documentary drama, but it's touched on. And you do see there are several scenes that are key that the Hussein family, you know, the Al-Tikridis, finds a way to transport a large amount of gold and cash out of the central bank and in Baghdad, and then into a hiding place, and then from there to Jordan. So, yeah, these are elements that are acknowledged in both, you know, fact and in docudrama fiction. And docudramas have the ability to stretch things a little bit and condense them, and to make them more not palatable but believable in a, you know, in a fictional type presentation. You don't have to believe every single thing, but it's just like, you know, if you tried to tell the story of the American Revolution without Benjamin Franklin, you couldn't do it. So there's a lot of stuff in these HBO docudramas and other things that have been coming out lately that's based on fact, and you just have to sort out the hyperbole and what have you from the real stuff. And I can believe it because the mother figure, the first wife, of Saddam Hussein, was an extremely strong and brilliant woman. And he took a second wife, and so, you know, she, by the time the bombs started falling, she hated him more than anybody else in the country.
I can believe that. I didn't know that he had taken a second wife.
No, absolutely. And, of course, there was no divorce. I mean, he didn't have to.
Yeah. That is very interesting. You know, I did want to kind of change the subject really quickly from this to something that is that we talked about yesterday. Yesterday, we were talking about all of these strange events, the UFO in New Jersey, and the fact that the weather radar went down. And I'm trying to figure out what... Joe sent me a note, and oh my gosh, I hate this. I hate being in the middle of a sentence, and then a note comes up, and I've got to, it got to be on. Yes, Richard. No. Never mind. I'm talking to Joe. No, I have got to figure out how to not get rattled like that when the Skype messages come through, and I've got to immediately give Joe an answer, and I'm right in the middle of a sentence. So, anyway, in our reading room yesterday, we were talking about the UFO, we were talking about the weather radar going down, we were talking about the pelicans falling out of the sky. There's another one that happened, Richard, and we just found out about it today. Planet X may have been photographed, and if you open that article and scroll down to the bottom where you get wholelook.com and click the wholelook.com, and then you got to click another one to get there. I hate it when you have to click multiple links to get to someplace, but this is worth it. So then you click Planet X may have been photographed, and you go down and you can see that indeed something is going on. I mean, something major. Not only is it Planet X, but we've got these very strange green clouds in the sky, and evidently they were only taking photographs of the moon, but they picked up these green clouds and this purple thing. What is this purple thing? You know, who knows? You've got to read the article. Well, it is the Aurora Borealis over Scandinavia. That's what the green things are. I didn't read that. Wasn't in the earlier article. But then there is this purple planet. And so what, you know, maybe the weather radar went off because the purple planet was over the United States and they didn't want anybody to pick it up. I don't know. We just don't know in things like this. And so stay tuned, folks. We're going to be having Phil Berg talking about the court case that is going to be heard before the Supreme Court tomorrow. He's going to be, it's going to be conferenced by the 9 justices of the Supreme Court, and then on January 16th, they're going to have another conference before the Supreme Court. So stay tuned. This is Raylan from RumorMillNews.com, and in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Phil Berg.
Today's show was brought to you by LifeQuest World Corporation, a life science company that is dedicated to significantly improving the lives of its family members, associates, and distributor organization. We strive daily through our own research and development laboratories, as well as our professional association with one of the world's leading botanical research centers, to provide human beings with solutions to many of life's unanswered health challenges. Infusing proprietary science under the scrutiny of good manufacturing practices and adhering to the efficacy of pharmaceutical protocols, LifeQuest products are effective, safe, and superior within the marketplace for nutritional supplements and consumables. LifeQuest strives to present a whole-minded approach to better living by putting equal emphasis on an improved lifestyle, freedom through financial reward, and the enhancement of the human spirit. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.
To look younger and feel youthful and revitalized. We strive for these things our whole life, but always seem to fall short of our expectations. Some products on the market may sound great, but all you're really getting is expensive marketing and a bottle full of chemicals. Remember, aging is a disease, reminding us every day that our bodies are breaking down. The new wave of natural health and beauty is here with Orgon's G5 Organic Silica. The anti-aging potential of G5 Organic Silica is one of the elements in the body that becomes greatly deficient as we age. Just 2 tablespoons of G5 Organic Silica a day can help keep aging away. Also, check out Orgon's Chembuster. With a food shortage and crops more precious than ever, the Chembuster can help alleviate drought and increase fertility and vitality of your crops. Health does not need to be expensive or complicated. Simple technology equals profound results at OrgonProducts.org. Visit orgoneproducts.org or call 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
TheMicroEffectLive.com. The Micro Effect, Kamiyai, Idaho, where every day is a holiday.
Yes, sir!
Where every paycheck is a fortune.
Yes, sir.
Kamiyai, Idaho, where every meal is a banquet.
Yes, sir.
Where your instincts will serve you better than your government.
Yes, sir.
I get you.
Yes, sir.
TheMicroEffectLive.com. The Micro Effect, a worldwide broadcast on the internet and on KU band satellite. Telstar 5, Transponder 5, TheMicroEffectLive.com. The most important phone number you'll need to remember is 888-747-1968. Again, 888-747-1968. Don't miss it.
Yes, sir!
This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long. Be strong, live long with ImmuneXT. 100% natural and certified vegetarian, ImmuneXT is the world's most powerful immune stimulatory extract on the market. Researched and developed over a 10-year period by research scientists at the National Center for Natural Products Research at the prestigious University of Mississippi. Our bodies are under attack daily by viral and bacterial agents. To maintain health and wellness, you must strengthen, stimulate, and enhance immune responses to pathogens and foreign invaders, protecting yourself from illness, disease, and even death. The answer is ImmuneXT. Clinically proven to enhance the body's defense mechanisms against bacterial and viral infection and strengthen and support optimal performance of the immune system. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.